Today my guest is Billy Hollis. Billy, how are you, sir?
I'm fine, David. Thanks.
It's a pleasure to meet you. I really enjoyed your talk yesterday on UX patterns.
On navigation and interaction patterns. Yeah, well, you know, as we moved into more capable UI stacks, this idea that we just put file and it window help along the top, I think that's in its last gasp.
Oh, just getting used to that.
Yeah. Well, it's almost 30 years old now.
Yeah.
And so it's time to look at other things. And because developers have tended to just focus in on that for the consistency of windows, they kind of stop thinking about some of the other ways you might look at how you present interaction to the user. They basically restricted themselves to a few patterns. You remember at the beginning of that session, I said, make a list, mentally or on paper, of how many different interaction and navigation patterns you can think of that you commonly use. And most people said 4, 5. One person said 2.
Yep. And one person said 25. I think they were like...
I talked to that person afterwards and he said, well, I kind of see what you meant. They were also including little things like how you use radio buttons and how you use combo boxes. And I was at the bigger level of how the application navigation and the flow goes. So yeah, I did put up a slide with about 24 of them and talked about when you might want to use this, some warnings, et cetera. And the response to that session was pretty good. It's first time I ever did it.
I made
that list about 6 months ago and decided to submit that as a session to TechKit. So that's the first time I did that session.
But people are starting to change the way that they get away from the file menu because of Metro.
That's right.
It doesn't really have guidelines like that Windows style guide that came out 20 years ago.
It doesn't have explicit style guides like that, but it does have a certain set of suggested practices and design principles so that the apps kind of have a certain amount of consistency. But we're changing the idea of what consistency means.
Okay.
See, consistency in the Windows GUI world, the old style, starting with the Windows in the 90s, was that file edit window help, and we had Battleship Gray Forms, and maybe we had something down the side that we used for some additional navigation in a toolbar, and that was about all the flexibility that we had. But now, it's not just Windows 8, it's that people's daily lives are taken up with smartphones, which have completely different navigation patterns, and the iPad, and Android tablets. So now touch is probably the technology that has fired that need to re-examine what we think of as the right application navigation patterns from scratch.
Okay. And people are getting a little spoiled by the devices they have. The one thing that Apple has brought to the table, I think the single biggest thing, is design. They're really good at creating pretty interfaces.
Pretty, but not just pretty. They feel natural.
Feel natural.
Because I talk to people about the iPad. I started doing this about a year ago. And it's interesting that you ask them, why did you buy it? What did you intend to use it for? About every other one, you get this kind of confused look. They don't know what they were going to do with it when they got it.
That's funny.
And you think about any consumer device.
It's a depressed girl.
But even that's a tangible reason. So you think, what consumer device has been successful with people buying it when they didn't know what they were going to use it for? They touch it, they experience it, and they just have to have it. So that tells you something about the increasing need for user experience. In fact, for developers, the point at which they very often are forced to take this seriously, whether they want to or not, is when the executive walks in with the iPad and says, you need to do something like this for our application. And Windows 8 is going to have a pretty good entry there because from a developer standpoint, it's got maybe half the development time or less than iPad, because Objective-C is really difficult to develop it. So that's going to be a nice counter for the folks in the Microsoft world, but if you're going to work in that world, you've got to get these interaction patterns figured out.
Sure, there's some of these interaction patterns that are available.
Well, when I went down the list, I started with some fairly common ones, and certainly you think about the typical list of options in which menus comes into that, and things like the folders you navigate to and Outlook come into that, and I talked about some of the cautions there. The biggest issues that you tend to run into that in traditional software today is people just, they don't see any limit in how many options they put on. And this is quite a literal case. I've gone into companies that had 350 to 400 menu options on that top menu.
Sure.
If you start, because you can go to the top menu, you fall down, and then those can go over to change. That's, if you've got 400 menu options, you don't have a chance of people finding, ever looking at all of them. They'll never look at all of them. They'll never know they're there. So I talked about some of the dangers in that, some of the design principles. There's a design principle called Hicks' Law, which talks about the more options you've got, how that increases the amount of time to choose one, which has an obvious impact on productivity. So I talked about some of the mitigation factors. If you are stuck in that world, you've got to use that interaction pattern. Then use find capability, filter the menu options down, and put role-based stuff in, put favorites so that people find the thing they want, or the most recently used. You do something so that people aren't just staring at a list of 400. And then the next one I talked about was the interaction pattern called Launchpad, which everybody's familiar with because desktops work better.
Yeah.
But the thing I talked about there was that there are different kinds of launch pads. There are app-centric launch pads, like the desktops and the iPad or Windows 8. And there are action-centric launch pads. This happens a lot in programs. The one that I showed that demonstrated this in the session was Camtasia.
Camtasia
is a fabulous thing. And just as a little side note, I think Camtasia ought to be part of every development team's toolkit. And the reason why is, don't bother to write help files in the world. Nobody will read them.
Right.
There's just no point. Take Camtasia videos to show how features work. People will actually look at that. But yeah, I use Camtasia because I do plural site training videos and such. And the first thing that comes up is this launch pad of actions.
Okay,
do you want to record something new? Do you want to go edit an old one, etc.? So there's that. And then there's entity centric. If you've got a user application and task flow that's very focused on the entities. So
that's
one
like
of the
documents.
Documents would be an example. Also, we did a temporary staffing application a while back for salespeople to use. And then there was another one of my clients who did some retail software. And the people are thinking about the application in terms of the entities. The salesmen think about the employees they need to place and the customers who want to be placed and the orders. That's their central way of looking at it. So your launch pad reflects that.
Okay.
In the retail, it was the products that you want to put up or various stuff. So an entity-centric launch pad is the second thing I look at.
You're thinking about workflow before you start planning.
That's right. What you really want to do is, if you've got this long checklist of different interaction patterns and the variations on them, now, when you get ready to do something new, and you hopefully, observe the users, and you understand enough about their workflow to kind of put yourself inside their head, you can go down the list and go, well, which one of these interaction patterns fits the way they do things?
Yeah.
If you don't have a checklist, that's much, much harder.
Right.
So the purpose of that session was to furnish the checklist. So I went on through routine application patterns like that, tabbed context switchers, panoramas on the phone where you just swoosh back around.
You see a little window into the bigger picture.
Yeah, and the panorama is kind of an example of a bigger pattern called the viewport, where the screen is considered to be a piece on something larger.
Okay.
And the panorama just goes side to side,
okay.
But then there's the general viewport pattern. You can think of mapping software works this way.
Sure.
Where you can move your hole around on the map, or you can scale the map bigger or smaller. So there's the viewport pattern that I looked at. I looked at timelines. Timelines are very underused as application patterns because the technologies don't make it easy to create a timeline, except for some third-party controls from a few vendors for calendaring.
Okay.
Timelines are hard to do
in
the UI to implement. So I gave some hints on implementing an example. Queues are also very underused. The idea that the users don't need to worry about finding the thing they want to work on. The system has rules to figure that out for them.
Describe a queue. I know queue is
something
that's non-visible.
Yeah, a queue from a non-visible perspective is just a set of things that need to be worked on. The visible interaction pattern for that is, now let's list that with an appropriate template so that the user gets to see what the items look like. Or, there's really basically two added patterns with the queue. One is that somebody, like a pharmacist approving prescriptions, just says, give me the next one I need to work on. He doesn't even pick off a list.
It's like Canva.
Yeah, he just said, give me the next one, and it just pops up there for and works. And that's especially helpful if you've got people that are a pool of people that are working on a pool of items. And any one of the items could go to any one of the people depending on who's available.
Should give it to them and let them select it. Right?
Yeah, so that's one type of queue. And then you also look at queues where you need to select from a small group. You've got to get them all done, but you determine the order. For example, we had a case where we had a queue for people who were mixing up specific drug combinations
to fill a prescription.
So you got five of them there, but maybe the stuff you've already got out means that you take the third one off the list and work on that one next. So you have queues in which people have a small group of items, but they just decide which one. They don't have really much control over those items coming up, but within that list, they have control over which one they choose right now. Queues are probably the single biggest interaction pattern that will promote productivity in our experience, really boost it for repetitive kind of workflows. But there are, I also talked about the fact that one of the implications there is people get in a rhythm and they make mistakes, and so you have to build forgiveness into that application so that if they, oops, I didn't mean to actually commit that item, that there's an easy way to reclaim. So I went through some of the common ones and then the ones that were less commonly used. And I think as a checklist, it will probably help people looking at a massive new application to kind of go, well, which two or three or four of these patterns might fit? And now let's kind of sketch out. I did a little bit of sketchboarding, storyboarding. How would you sketch out this interaction pattern and see whether or not it fits our application?
Now, a lot of people didn't have the luxury of coming to your tech ed. Are you publishing this somewhere?
Well, I have a Pluralsight course on design principles, it's been pretty popular. It was only put out about a month ago, and it went to the top of their leaderboard in a few days. So there seems to be some latent demand for this. And I have another one in the pipeline for design process. That's about storyboarding, et cetera. And then the one following that would be on these interaction patterns, if I can get to that. That's right, because now that there's an appreciation for the need for better interaction, better design in Microsoft space, those of us who started doing it 5 years ago and have made all the mistakes and learned our lessons and such, we're in pretty high demand right now. The list is pretty short. Give us 2 or 3 years, and I'm seeing the people just starting out now. 2 or 3 years, they will have built up that level of expertise. But right now, I'm pretty busy.
Me too. Billy, I really appreciate
you
being here.
Hey, you're welcome, David.
Thank you.
Thanks. About design is it helps us use technology to make friends with our users.